The following is a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.
Welcome back, Christina. How are you?
I'm great, Gil. How are you?
I am just fine. We're talking about loving your home, and it's easy to love your home after a remodel. But, boy, getting there, the budgeting, the contracts, the disruption,
yeah.
It can really be a bear.
Yeah.
What are some tips to stress less during a remodel?
Well, start with benchmark setting in terms of your costs and budget.
Now, you've got to understand ballparks for common project costs, right?
Exactly. And to help you, Remodeling Magazine comes out with its annual Cost versus Value report, and this report gives national average costs and returns for about 36 home improvement projects. And it's a terrific resource, and even better, we've got that data from the report baked into our project info at HouseLogic. So you could read up about a project you might be interested in, and you'll get a sense of cost. And then you just have to figure out how much you have to actually spend. And if you're not going to pay cash, you might want to finance the project. But in that case, then you need to see how that will affect your monthly expenses. And so there's basically three types of loan options, a cash-out refinance, a home equity loan, and a home equity line of credit, or a HELOC. And the HELOC is probably one of the best ways to borrow for a project like this, if borrow you must.
Yeah, and that's because the home equity line of credit is secured by your home equity. It often qualifies for a lower rate than other loan types.
Yes, and you can deduct the interest on your taxes as well.
Absolutely, which makes it especially cheap. What's the downside, though?
Well, it's like a credit card. So the minimum payment could be just that month's interest. You're not required to pay back the principal. And so you could get stuck in debt if you're not careful. So I would recommend that a smart thing to do is to set up your own repayment schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if you have a 5-year pay down on this HELOC, you could pay 1/60th of the principal each month. Or if it's a 10-year buy down or pay down, you could do 1/120th, in addition, of course, to the monthly interest. And if you can't afford that much, if you do these calculations and you can't afford that much, then maybe this project is more than you can handle.
Yeah, that's a good thing to think about in advance. Now, after you've got your finances figured out, you need to get contractor quotes.
Yes. And you want to get 3 quotes. It's a nice way in case you have a tiebreaker. And the best way to find reputable folks is to consult friends and family, neighbors, even other tradesmen you trust for recommendations.
Right. And you'll want to get an itemized bid. Make sure that each contractor that way is bidding on the same project details. So you're really comparing apples to apples in these quotes.
Yes. And once you decide on a contractor, also add 15 to 20% to the total bill to prepare for the unexpected. Murphy's Law of surprises are going to happen.
Yeah. The real unexpected, I guess, is that nothing unexpected happens. That would be really unexpected.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So what if the project is getting over budget then at this point?
Well, you can talk to your contractor for cost-cutting suggestions as you negotiate the job. So you could, for instance, substitute different types of materials like laminate flooring instead of hardwood. You could keep older stuff like older appliances, the furnace, lighting fixtures that are in good condition. You can just keep them where they are, and then you can upgrade them later when it becomes more cost-feasible. Another really interesting strategy is to buy your materials yourself. You can save up to 20% on project costs this way. You just have to be a really good measurer, and you have to be willing to handle all the logistics because the contractor won't be doing so. But we'll have more on this strategy at houselogic.com/radio.
Speaking of contractors, let's talk about the contract. There's a source of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
What should you expect to see in your contract?
Well, I think a few really important things are that the contractor will get all the necessary permits and approvals, what the payment schedule will be, and the start and end dates for the project. The contract doesn't necessarily need to include all the product specs, but it should at least refer to the itemized bid that you mentioned earlier, Gil.
Okay. Talk more about the payment schedule.
You want them to be linked to work milestones, like when they're done roughing in the plumbing and the electricity. That's a milestone, for example, or could be in your case. Generally speaking, the first payment should be no more than 10% of the total job, and the final payment should be enough money up to like 1/3 of the total cost of the project to make sure that the contractor comes back to correct anything or deal with unfinished details.
Also, you should make sure the contract says that changes to the job and its cost should be put in writing and signed by you and the contractor, right?
Yes.
Okay. What about a contractor's warranty? Is that worth it?
Well, they're often filled with exclusions and time limits that favor the contractor, not you. And some state statutes often have better protection than a warranty. So it's worth considering striking the warranty clause unless you have a lawyer review your contract.
Before we go, what about dealing with the disruption factor when you're doing remodeling? That's the big stressor.
Yeah. I think it's all about managing your expectations. You know, knowledge is power. So we looked at some common remodeling projects that take longer than a week, and we ranked them on a disruption scale, where 10 is the most disruptive and 1 is just a blip.
All right, so give me a couple of those.
Well, hardwood floors, are you finishing them? So you're looking at 2 to 14 days, depending on the scope, and we ranked this project a big old 9 because you have to move furniture and cover surfaces to protect from wood dust, so that disrupts your day-to-day life. And if you use oil-based sealants, you'll have to live somewhere else to avoid breathing in the fumes. Mm-hmm. And you won't even be able to walk on the floors for at least 2 days after the last coat of sealant is applied.
Great information. Christina, thank you as always.
Thank you.
And you can find more info on remodeling and the disruption scale at houselogic.com/radio. And follow House Logic on Facebook at facebook.com/houselogic. Christina Hoffman, good to have you back. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.